creation, right? Yes, you do. So I'm going to speak about it a little bit this morning, just because it's relevant to the message that I'm speaking about. But you know, when you get married, those of you who are not married yet, here's a tip: the person you stand with on the aisle when you get married, that is not the same person you're going to be married to in 10, 15, 20 years' time. That person will change. Only better. And you will change. We all change, we grow, we adapt. And so you don't completely know the person standing next to you in the aisle. It really is a step of faith. You know something of that person, and you're like, please, Lord, let this go well. Like, let this person go from worse to better and not from better to worse. It's really what you're sort of hoping. One thing that I did not know about my wife when we stood on the at the aisle, when we walked down the aisle, is that afterwards, her family for years, they teased her and said, Carla, when you get married one day, you need to get married with her husband without a nose. Because she hates it when people sniff. Sorry, just a tip. She hates it when people sniff. And when she can hear you breathing, it irritates her to no end. My problem is I've got a nose problem. Like, I always sniff. I always need to blow my nose. And so we just didn't know that about each other. We had to figure that out as we went. And my wife's verskoning, the way that she would excuse it always when she gets irritated with me, and I'd get irritated because she's irritated, and then both of us are irritated. We've got a great marriage, by the way. She would always just say this, Leonard, it runs in the family. My uncle is always irritated, so that's why I'm irritated. My brother, you know my brother. My brother gets irritated really quickly, so that's why I get irritated. It runs in the family. And my reply is always, no, you know what you call that genetic trait? You call it sin. That's what you call it. It's not genes. It's sin. But the question I do want to speak about this morning is when we've got sin in our lives, that as we've been looking at over the last 3 weeks, when there are things that we struggle with, there are these areas that we can't break through, whether it's addiction, whether it's your anger that flares up, whatever it may be that you struggle with in your life, a big question that I'd like to look at the scripture with you this morning is, where does that actually come from? Does it come from your family? Is some of it inherited? Is some of it learned? Is some of it done to you, and therefore you replicate what was done to you? Or is it just sin inherently in you that you have chosen? And we've been going through Genesis 4, where Cain murders Abel. It's a very well-known portion of scripture. And we've been really looking at we've been pulling sin apart to see, how does sin work? And how is God involved when there's sin in our lives? And what does God want in these moments? Because we get a glimpse into heaven in this moment where Cain murders his brother Abel. It's the first big sin that gets committed after the fall in Genesis 3. And so I'd love to answer that question for you and look at, how did this actually come about? But I'm gonna pray for us just quickly, and because I'm really hoping today that as we delve into actually where a lot of us come from, our families, the way we grew up, I think it is gonna be difficult. And some of you might have actually experienced trauma as you grew up, and there might be difficult things that we touch on when we look at the family line and our sin at the moment. And I know that this is a sensitive topic, so I just want to pray for us and just say, Lord, protect our hearts. I want to pray that, and then I want to pray, Lord, that as I speak this morning, it's not about my message, but I just want to pray to the Lord that maybe He would reveal things to you. He would bring up memories that you've pushed away that you don't want to think about because they were traumatic, and you just don't want to go there to your childhood again, but that the Lord would use this morning to show you things that He wants to do in your life. So, Lord, as your people, we come before you and we open up our hearts, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as you reveal things, we know it's always for our good. It's always for our growth. It's always so that we can break free. And Lord, as I speak, I pray that as maybe memories come up of how we grew up and things that happened to us long ago, that those things would not be there to condemn us or to just hurt us, but that they would actually bring freedom this morning. That you would come in and that you would heal hurts of our families and actually just how we grew up. Amen. Amen. So just to jump back into the story of Genesis 4, I think that what really happened is as Cain went and he killed his brother Abel, I'm not going to give you the entire backstory. You can go read Genesis 4 or listen to the series that we've been going through. I think there were moments where Cain had a thought that probably a lot of us have. And the thought is this: I never thought I was going to be like my parents, but I'm doing exactly what my parents just did. Any of you ever felt like that before in your life? You're like, you see something in your parents or the way that you grew up and you think, I never want to do what my mom did. I never want to do what my dad did. And then you go through life and at some point you open up your mouth and it's like you zoom out of yourself and you think, that's exactly what my mom did. That's exactly what my father said. It's like these things come out of us. And I want to show you out of the Bible that there are so many similarities that whether Cain saw it or not, the Bible wants us to see it between Adam and Eve, who were the parents of Cain and Abel, and Adam and Eve, and then how that flowed through, and how there were so many similarities with Cain, where I think he had many of those, oh wait, moments. Let me show it to you in the Bible quickly. Genesis 4 verse 6, this is firstly what Cain did. The Lord said to Cain, he asked him this rhetorical question, we spoke about this last time, why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? This is just before he goes and sins. God comes and he asks him a question. This would have been like a whoa moment for him. Oh, God's asking me a question. But let's go back to Genesis 3, verse 9. But the Lord called out to the man, Adam, and did exactly the same. And said to him, where are you? Exactly the same thing. God asks Adam a rhetorical question. God knew the answer. Genesis 4, God comes to Cain and he does exactly the same. And I think Cain probably stood there and he probably had like this moment where he thought, whoa, God's asking me a question. He did exactly the same to my father. I'm following in the footsteps of my father. Let me show you two more. Genesis 4, verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, this is now after he'd killed his brother, where is your brother? Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And so what he does here is God comes to him and he confronts the sin in his life. And what does he do? He shrugs it off. He's like, this has nothing to do with me. I don't have anything to do with it. He pushes away sin and he pushes away responsibility. But let's go back to Genesis 3 with his mom and dad. Genesis 3 verse 12. The man said, this is now after they'd eaten of the fruit. And he does exactly the same. The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. Does that not sound familiar, men? It's not my fault, it's my wife. Why are you late? It's never your fault. It's always your wife. So what does Adam do here? He shrugs responsibility. And what did Cain do just a chapter in the Bible later? He shrugs off responsibility. He pushes it away. Can you see the similarities? He is following in his father's footsteps. And I'm sure he thought, man, the way I'm trying to run away from responsibility is exactly the way that my dad did it. One more. Genesis 3 verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden. Let me go verse 4 verse 16 first. Sorry, that's the order I did it. It says, after Cain had sinned, after God confronted him, it says the following. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. So he gets pushed away from the presence of God after he had sinned. But let's look at what happened to his dad when his dad sinned. In Genesis 3 verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He followed in his father's footsteps. Completely. Are you following what's happening here? Can you see that whether Cain saw it or not, the Bible wants you to see this. It wants you to see that Adam and Eve were perfectly made. It was the perfect creation. They were in perfect unity with each other in their marriage, perfect unity with God. Sin came in, and because they allowed sin to come in, that had a ripple effect, and it worsened to Cain, who followed exactly in his father's footsteps, and the same with all of us. You might not know this, but the house that you grew up in and the things that you were confronted with as a child, and maybe you are still young and you're still under the roof of your parents, but the way that you were shaped and molded as a child, it has a direct influence on who you are today. Can I get an amen? Positively or negatively, I mean, we learn brilliant things from our parents, and And from most of our parents, we can learn good things. But even if you come from a good house, your parents are still not perfect. They are still not living exactly to the pattern that God set for us. None of us can do that. None of us are perfect. Sin had entered into all of our lives. And so it's really applicable to any of us sitting here today. All of us were positively and probably mostly more negatively influenced at times by the families that we grew up in. And so it's important for us, it's imperative for us to stand still and ask ourselves, what influence did that have on me today? How am I maybe living more or less in sin today because of what happened to my parents or in my parental house or when I was a child? And have I dealt with it? Because if you do not deal with it, if you do not become a student of your past and figure out why you are the way that you are today, you will struggle to break free from sin. And that's really what we're looking at today. We're looking again at how to break free from sin. And I want to say that this is really an important thing. Become a student of your past, not a victim. That's not what I'm saying. But you become a student of your past. I've told this story before. I just want to illustrate this point. When I was studying theology, I really struggled with jealousy in my life, but like really, really struggled. And I was, for the first time, I lived in a sort of residence where I had to be surrounded with other students, and I was like a nasty, horrible person on the inside, and I didn't like it, and I didn't know where the heck it came from. I would have friends, and then these friends would make new friends, and I would feel like I just don't like the new friends because they became friends with my friends. And so I would compare myself to people all the time. I would never feel good enough. There was just this turmoil on the inside, and it led me to sin. It led me to being jealous. It led me to hatred. It led me to comparison. It really was sin that came out of me. And then one day I went to visit my mom who had raised me. And she had this little dog. I've told you about this dog maybe. The dog's name was Molly because her surname is Moller or was Moller. So Molly the dog. And Molly is an only dog, only child. I'm an only child. And long story short, my mom went to go stay with my aunt and uncle and they had other dogs. And Molly, who was the sweetest little dog, became a little terrorist. Molly was horrible. She wanted to bite the other dog. She's this little thing, and there's these big dogs, and she wants to bite them. She barks at them. She doesn't like them. And I thought, what a horrible little dog. And as I thought that, I really think it's the Lord that revealed it to me. The Lord said to me, I think, you are Molly. You are exactly like that. And I realized, oh my, the reason I'm struggling with sin now, actually as a direct, I can pull that line directly to how I grew up. I grew up as an only child. Nothing was done wrong to me. It's not even sin that was done to me. I was an only child. And so I never learned to share. I never learned to like I still do it. You get this a koeldrank ingooi. I check that line. Must be perfect. My wife hates it. She says, you're the only child in you. But I can pull it through completely. And I want to stop with you. I want to ask you two questions today. I want you to look at your past and ask, how did you grow up? I'm going to ask the two questions now. And what does it do to you today? Because as you become a student of it, as God brings healing to the things that happen to you, you will walk in more freedom today. So two questions to ask. Firstly, what was done to me that was not according to God's design? What happened to you as a child that was not according to the Lord's design? And the second question is, what did not happen to you that should have happened according to the Lord's design? Let me give you a few things to think about. I'm sort of putting sub-questions. You don't have to write all of this down. We'll send it to you. But just as I'm going through this, can I ask you to think, to delve into your past? Maybe you've shut that door. Maybe you've said, I'm not going there ever again. I'm not under my parents anymore. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to go there. It's too hurtful. Can I ask you this morning to be bold and just open up that door so that the Lord can bring healing? Can I? Let me ask you a few questions under these two sort of bigger topics. What happened to you, firstly? What happened to you? I'm going to ask you three questions there. Sorry, I'm not making sense here. It doesn't matter. Just allow the Lord to work in your heart. What was not according to God's pattern in your home setup? God's pattern is this. a mother and father married for life who love each other deeply. That's God's pattern. God's pattern is then you have children. They have children who they love, care for, and raise in the ways of the Lord. What in your life, because none of us have that perfectly, what in your life was not according to that? I think of this. For me, it was, I grew up without a father. That's not God's pattern. Sometimes I think it's better because there was a lot of fighting and they separated and maybe it's like plan B and that's okay, but it wasn't plan A. And I need to realize the fact that I didn't have a father, it does influence me today and it does influence my walk with God today, right? It must. I don't always know how, and there the Lord needs to do something, but it must. Maybe for you, you grew up in a house where your parents constantly criticized one another or fought, or one parent was emotionally absent, even though they were at home. What was not right in the home that you grew up in? Second question there, what were you exposed to which you would not like another child exposed to? I think for me, I was exposed to a mom, and listen, I love my mom. I'm not going to go into all the detail, but it was very unstable. She was undiagnosed bipolar for all of my childhood, so it was very up and down in the household that I grew up in. And so emotions, I was exposed to anger and rage. What were you exposed to? Maybe you were exposed to pornography at a young age. Maybe you were exposed to a father who abused or neglected your mother. What were you exposed to? Maybe there wasn't enough in the house and there was scarcity and there was fear. What were you exposed to as a child? Where you think, man, I don't want other kids to be exposed to that. Third question, are there any negative core memories which you vividly remember? I mean, think about this. There are some things that get stuck from your childhood and you think, why do I remember this? Or I don't want to remember this. We try and put it outside of our minds. And listen, I've heard this even from people who come from very good households. Their parents accidentally said something or accidentally did something and it caused deep hurt in them. So what is it? What's that core memory that you think, like, I can't get rid of this? I mean, I can give you examples. For me, I got sick one night and I threw up in the hall on the way to the bathroom and my mom was not in a good space and I had to clean it up as a young boy. It got stuck with me. Like, I couldn't get rid of it. Later in my life, I needed to deal with it and allow the Lord to bring healing. But what might have happened to you? Were you molested? Were you raped? Sorry, I'm speaking like, oh, is that okay? Can I speak openly this morning? Were you beaten as a child? Were you bullied at school? What are those things? Believe me, they have an effect on you today. The second category is study what didn't happen to you that should have happened to you. Question here, where did your parents fall short because of their own shortcomings? Not because they wanted to hurt you, wanted to abuse you, but where did they fall short because they weren't exactly like Jesus in that moment? Maybe they thought they were providing for you, but they were never at home. Maybe your dad thought that the way to show love was to buy you gifts, but you just wanted his attention. Where did your parents fall short? Another question, which biblical principles were you never taught as a child? I think of me, I was never taught self-discipline. Not really. This is not a pity Leonard session. Like, the Lord has really, like, brought a lot of healing. My wife looks at me many times and she's like, you are an absolute miracle. And I'm like, yes, that's the Lord. But I was never taught self-discipline. Never once in my life did my parents help me with homework. Never. Never, ever. I was never taught to clean my room, to make up my bed. It was, the room would get messy, there would be an anger outburst. That's all I was taught. I was never taught self-discipline. And so I need to realize as an adult, well, that has an effect on me today. Like, the Lord must come and he must bring healing. Perhaps for you, you never saw generosity towards others, or your parents never prayed together. You never saw a godly household. Well, realize that. Recognize that. Know that it's there. It's not to blame. It's know that it's there. Last question, because I'm going long. Which part of God was never modeled to you? Where could your parents not accurately reflect God? I think for me, it was probably patience. As I said, there wasn't a lot of patience always at home. But maybe you experienced a lot of harshness and there wasn't grace. And sometimes you just wanted your parents to say, hey, you broke that thing, but it's okay. I love you. Maybe it's the opposite for you. Maybe you experienced acceptance, but there was never consequences. Like, everything was always okay. But you would never say, no, 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 you broke it, and therefore you are going to take your pocket money and pay it back. There you might not have learned. Are you identifying somewhere this morning? I'm hoping. Allow the Lord to search us. Lord, even as we go through these questions, I pray that you would search us. Search us. Just show us, Lord. Even show us where we come from. Show us those things that we exposed in. Like Cain followed in the footsteps of Adam, Lord, we want to recognize so that we don't follow in those footsteps. So that we can allow you to redeem and come into our lives and help us. Amen. You know, I had this journey as a student where I never thought of the way that I grew up because I thought everyone grows up this way, right? They've got nothing to compare it to. I don't know what other people have in their homes. This is just my normal. And I had to realize, no, this is not normal. As I read the Bible, like, this is not God's standard. It's not the way that he wanted it in all respects. And I did this subject called Christian Counseling, Introduction to Christian Counseling. I thought I was going to hate it. I loved it. It was quite cool. One of the subjects that was asked to me is you needed to go to your parents and ask them, tell me about my childhood and the way that I grew up. And I'd been processing these things, and there was actually a bit of anger in me, thinking like, yes, I was wrong. There was self-pity. Like, Lord, why did you allow me to go through these things? Because, like, I see how I'm living exactly like I grew up, and I don't want to be that. I felt like a lot of self-pity. And I didn't want to do the assignment, and I went to this assignment. I went to my mom, and I said, just explain to me the way that you raised me when I was a young boy. And for the first time, I was able to zoom out of the process and realize that my mom was also a victim. You know, there's the saying, broken people break people. The only reason my mom caused any brokenness in me was because she was also broken. And only a single parent with little income needing to raise a boy, you've got no clue what you're doing. Struggling with bipolar, undiagnosed, she didn't know what she was doing. She was in a hell of her own. And we can get selfish, and this is the second point that I want to look at in the Bible as we go there now. We can get selfish. We can look at our past, and we can become victims of our past, not students of it, and say, well, I am the way that I am because someone did it to me. Listen, that's not the biblical thing here. The second thing we need to realize as we've looked at our past is we need to actually stand still and say, okay, it happened to me. Now what? I might have been broken, but it's probably because someone else was broken. Now what? What do I do? And the Bible teaches us, no, well, you know what you do is you look at it, you realize it, you grieve it, you say that wasn't right, but what I do, I own. My sin is my sin. I never look to someone else to say they did it. And I want to say to you, if these words come into your mouth, this is what needs to stop in us. I'm going to show you this out of the Bible now. We should stop saying, I do this because of what happened to me. I live this sin out because this sin was done to me. That's not words biblically that should come out of our mouth. Or say, I do this because I was never not taught not to do it. Or, that's just the way I am. Ooh, anyone ever said that? It's just the way I am. I'm just an angry person. Ek het net 'n kort lont. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's not how God designed you. We should stop saying that. That's just how my family communicates. Sound familiar? That's just how we do it around the table. We always shout at each other. Get used to it. Get used to it. Like, that's the way we do it. Everyone in my house has a short temper. Everyone has it. It's just the way I am. We should stop saying that. Ezekiel 18 verse 20, it gives us this biblical principle. We look at the past, we realize sin was done to us, but we own our own sin. The soul who sins shall die. I'm not going to go into the context. The son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father. No, you don't carry the sins of your parents like you carry your own sin. Nor the father suffer the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. I think of it this way. We've got three beautiful little children. Twins, 5 years old, and then a three-year-old. Listen, they can play, they can fight. Yes, they can fight. And the last while, what they've been doing is, we actually had an incident, I'll tell you about one. Yesterday, our kids at school, they got like a wand, which we don't like. So we said, no, it's not a wand, it's a scepter, like a king or a queen has. You can play with your scepter, that's fine. And so our little one, the three-year-old, took the scepter from one of the twins and she wanted to break it, which is so wrong of her, right? You can't do that. And then the other twin came, one of the twins came, and she grabbed her by the neck, literally that blood ran out of her neck. I think she wanted to kill her if she could. Sometimes I think if these little children, you say that sin only comes later, no, you are born with sin. I think if she had the strength, she would have ripped her neck off. So she grabbed her. And I had to go sit with my child and I had to say to her, yes, wrong was done to you, but that does not excuse you doing your own wrong. Your sister must stand before the Lord for what she's done and before me. I am the vehicle of the Lord in this moment. Your sister must stand before the Lord for what she's done, but listen, that doesn't excuse you. You must stand before the Lord and before me for what you've done. That's the biblical principle. If you are a victim of your past, then you just carry it forward and you will never find healing. But if you grieve it and you say, okay, Lord, but I've also got a role to play. I also have my own sin, my own iniquity. What do I do? Well, the biggest question to ask is not to say, well, I just do it because it was done to me. But what we should rather say is, what do I need to repent of myself for where I am? What do I need to apologize for? Or what is my next step of obedience? That is how the Lord brings healing. Yes, you see it, but then you ask the Lord, what now? What do I do? Genesis 4, as we said, I'm not even going to go into it, but when the Lord addresses Cain, he never says, Cain, it's okay. You only did it because your parents sinned. He never does that. No, the Lord comes to Cain and he lets him stand responsible for his sin. Cain is responsible for Cain's sin. He never excuses it because of the sin of his parents. And so we realize this. We inherit patterns from our parents, but we choose our own sin. That's really important for us to realize. But then after we come to this point, I want to show you something out of the Bible, because it's one thing looking at our past. It's one thing looking at our present. So we look at our past and we acknowledge it and we grieve it and we ask the Lord to show us. We look at our present and we say, God, teach me, forgive me for my own sin. But another thing that we must do to break free from sin is we need to look at the future and realize that we can also be an Adam and Eve in our own children's lives. We can cause a Cain if we do not repent like Adam and Eve needed to repent. And so I want to show you this in Genesis 4 verse 19. This is still the same chapter. It's just a couple of verses on. Cain murders his brother. He doesn't adequately deal with his sin. He doesn't adequately repent. And then we see this guy introduced into the text. It's down the lineage. It's one of the sons of Cain. His name is Lamech. Sounds like a bad guy. Our kids call it bad guys. So, and this is the thing. Lamech had two wives. What an idiot. Because you get two mother-in-laws, right? I'm just joking. I love my mother-in-law. I'll take two of her any day. But he's the first guy to have two wives. In the entire Bible, he's the first polygamist. He introduces polygamy in the Bible. So what do we see? We see as sin comes in and dealt with Adam and Eve, sin gets worse and worse. It gets to Cain. Cain doesn't deal with it. What does sin get? It gets worse and worse and worse, and it degrades to the point of a guy now deciding, well, one wife is not enough. I know that's the way that God made it. I choose for myself two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the other one was Zillah. So he got A to Z. I think he was like, I'm going to cover the full spectrum here. Next verse. Lamech said to his wives, like, you can imagine, this is really a bad guy. Sin had degraded. Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Imagine talking to your wife like that. Hey, Carla, you wife of Leonard. Like, she's not going to like it. Listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. He boasts in the murder that he committed. If Cain's revenge is 70-fold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. Here comes a man, because sin is undealt with, where sin worsens, it multiplies. The same will happen with us. If we do not deal, if we do not look at the past, grieve it, ask forgiveness and forgive, if we do not stand before the Lord for our own sin, that will be replicated into your own children, believe me. Your children are carbon copies of you. The same way that you do things that your parents did, your children will do things that you did, or those who you disciple and walk with will learn from you, and they will do the things that you did. And it's really important for us to stand still and realize this. I watched this movie long ago. It's an Afrikaans movie. I won't give the name. But this woman, they're sitting next to a pool, and they're drinking a glass of wine. And then she does something. I can't remember what she does. And then she takes like a 100-rand note and she puts it into like a piggy bank. And the woman next to her says, "What are you doing?" And she says, "No, every time I'm a bad parent, I just put some money in here so that when my child's older, they can go see the psychologist of their choice." So I'm like, it's a little bit funny, but it's also not. Sometimes how we think, we're like, well, I'm going to make mistakes. I'll just make mistakes anyway. What can I do? I'm not perfect. No, you're not perfect, but you can take responsibility for your sin. You can take responsibility for your life, and you can make sure that your child does not end up with the psychologist. We can't excuse these things. We can't just let it go. I want to ask you, if your children copy you, if you think of yourself, how will they turn out if they copy you? In a couple of areas. If they copy the way that you serve God, how will they serve God one day? It's a good question to ask. Difficult, but good. If they copy the way that you are part of church, slotted into church life, how are they going to be part of church one day? If they copy the way that you are part of a small group or community, how you give yourself, how you love people there, will they do it well or will they not do it well? If they copy the way that you apologize, how will they apologize one day? If they copy the way that you treat your spouse or your brother and sister, those around you, how will they treat those around them? If they deal with stress the way that you deal with stress, will it be a healthy way of dealing with stress? And so I want to say the best thing we can do for our children and those who we influence is for us to stand before the Lord and Him to heal us. There's a saying, it's more caught than taught. You can teach your children 1,000 things. What they'll probably catch is who you are, not what you say. They'll catch that more. This is Mike Davies. He's a teacher in Josh, and he always said, if I say I've got mumps, but I've actually got measles, you're going to catch mumps, not measles. It's not what I say. It's what I'm carrying. And so we need to realize, like, what am I carrying? Who am I? And that will replicate. Let the Lord bring healing into your life. The question is not really whether we pass things on to our children and those after us. It's what we pass on to them. That's the real question. And so we've looked at a couple of things. We're gonna land now. And I'd love us to actually pray for each other and minister to each other this morning. We looked at a couple of things. We looked at our past. And that's difficult to do, but we look at our past and we say, Lord, reveal to me what happened to me. We realize then that our past carries into our present, and we say, Lord, how am I living because of my past today? What sin is in me now that I need to deal with, that I need to forgive so that I can break free? But then I also realize, Lord, I'm still responsible for my own sin. And then we look at our future and we say, Lord, what am I carrying forward? Because sin runs in the family and righteousness runs in the family as well. So I'd love to pray for us. Maybe let's stand, if you don't mind. Let's stand. See, we inherit patterns from how we grew up. We choose sin ourselves. But then the Bible teaches us that God comes and God redeems it all. God is a redeemer of your past. He doesn't just leave it. You can have 1,000 questions of why He allowed it, and maybe I can answer it for you. I can't. That's not the point. What I do know about God is He is able to take it, and He is able to redeem it and heal it. I'm going to show you something really beautiful in Matthew 18, verse 21 to 22. This is Jesus speaking, and many theologians believe that this reflects exactly back to Lamech, where sin multiplied all the way. But Jesus comes, and He says, well, I'm the exact opposite. Then Peter came up to Jesus and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And remember, Lamech said, my sin will be 77 times the sin of Cain. But Jesus responds. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Jesus takes the sin of Lamech and He says, well, I am the answer to that. He says, yes, I know there's sin. I know there's the worsening of sin and it's taken hold of you, but I am true forgiveness. I am true healing. And I believe that we need to, out of all of this, we need to have our eyes on this Savior, this Lord, this God who can come and he can heal and he can redeem. He can help you to forgive the wrong that was done to you. And he can help you not live the same way going forward. Let's pray.